master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and to the lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and to the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, as we consider part two of this message this morning, I pray, dear God, that you would bless the hearer today. Dear God, that you might open the ears of every person who is here today, that they might hear spiritual truths. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you might speak through me today, put me out of the way, and Lord, speak through me today to the hearts and lives of people that are here. I pray, dear God, for Spirit-filled listening today, that we would hear what the Scripture says. Dear God, that we would not take offense, but Lord, that we would understand that you have placed these things in the Scripture for our admonition, that we might learn of thee. Dear God, help us today. Forgive us of our sins. Help us, Lord, today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Lord, if there's anybody within the sound of my voice who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, dear God, that that person will come to know Jesus Christ in fullness of salvation today. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much, and be seated, if you would please. This is part two of my message, which I've entitled, Everyone is Invited. Everyone is invited. There is a great feast in our future. It is a great supper that is being planned in the honor of the Lord's church. And the invitation is going out. It's been going out for 2,000 years or so now, nearly. And the invitation is threefold. In the beginning message last week, we looked at the threefold invitation. We saw that in verse number 17, we are to come because all things are now ready. All things are now made ready. And so the invitation goes out to come to the marriage feast. Second reason that we ought to come is because we see in verse number 21, all classes of people are invited. Everyone is welcome to come to the great supper that the Lord is planning. And then the third reason that, or the third part of the threefold invitation is in verse number 22, come, for there is yet room. At this very moment, there is still room at the marriage supper. There is room for you. But understand that one day that opportunity will be gone. One day it will close either through your death or through the rapture of the church. One of these days the invitation will be closed. And so it is a threefold invitation that goes out today. And I hope and I pray that you will be a part of that great supper that takes place in our future one of these days. Well, if I gave you a skeleton outline there this morning, if you want the meat that goes on the bones, you're just going to have to order the CD. It is available, and I hope you'll do that so that you understand what is going on to this part, to this point. This morning, we move into part number two. Part number two of Everyone is Invited. I want you to know this morning that there is a threefold excuse that is given in the Scripture by Jesus Christ for not accepting the invitation that has gone out. A threefold excuse. We see the first excuse there in verse number 18. Look at it, if you would please. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. The first person wants to be excused from the invitation because he has something better in his mind that he wants to see. And so we need to understand this morning that there are a myriad of people this morning who will not accept the invitation of the Lord to come to the great supper because they have something else to see. They have something else to see. This represents the possessions that people have in their life. Their possessions are more important to them than this invitation. In this case, a man had bought a piece of property and he wanted to go and see it. What is wrong with that statement? Who in the world buys a piece of property without first looking at it? Give me a break. I don't think that's the issue at all. I think the issue is pleasure. I think the issue is I've got something else I want to see. I don't want to come to the dinner. And the reality is, if we do not want to do something, any excuse will work. If we do not want to do something. What a sad, sad reality this morning that there are many people in this world that have something else that they would rather see than the Lord Himself. Pleasure, activity, this possession, that possession. And there's nothing wrong with possessions as long as those possessions do not own us. But the reality of this morning is that many times in the lives of individuals, they don't own possessions, their possessions own them. It might be a vacation home, it might be some activity, it might be some event, something that they would rather see, they would rather spend time with that possession than they would with our Lord. Now the reality is we all need vacation every once in a while. We all need a break from life. That's just inevitable. That's just the way that it is. From time to time, we all need to take a break, go away a little bit, get refreshed. But the reality is there are people that do not step inside the door of God's church from year to year to year to year to year because their excuse is they have something else to see. They have a desire that they want to feed. They have something that they would rather do. And so their excuse is, I must go because I have something else to see. I've got an activity in my life, an earthly activity. Millions of people today are not in God's house because there's a sporting activity that they must see. You look on the television, and you see sporting events that draw thousands of people. A spectacle. People would rather see that than see the inside of God's house. How sad and how tragic it is that many of those individuals who are there are people who claim the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, help us today. There are so many that have something else that they need to see. That is more important. It is a higher priority today to them than anything else. It is said that in the typical NFL season game that an average family will drop about $1,000 to see a four-hour football game. $1,000. Imagine that. I wonder how many of those people would give $1,000 to God's work so that God's ministry could go forward. We have a problem with priorities, do we not? When people have something else they would rather see than what God is doing in the hearts and lives of people, how sad and how tragic that is. And once again, I'm not speaking about people that do things like that from time to time, but I'm talking about people that make that a way of life. There is something they must see, some possession. That possession owns them rather than the other way around. Secondly, we see the second individual. We notice him here in verse number 19. Notice what it says. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Who is this person? This person is a person who has something else to do. His work is more important than worship. Listen to me this morning. His work is more important to him or her than their worship. Now, I know there are jobs that require a person to work on Sunday. There's medical people. There's people who are police officers and emergency medical people and that type of thing. And sometimes it's just that way. I've had times in my life when I was required from time to time to carry a pager over the weekend, and that involves Sunday. And sometimes it would mean I would have to leave a service. I get that. I understand that. Those things happen. But we're talking about the individual who puts work ahead of Almighty God. Now, that being said, let me say this. Men, you are to work. You are to provide for your family. That is a commandment of Almighty God. In fact, the Scripture tells us if we do not work, we should not eat. But let me help you with something here this morning. There needs to be a balance. There needs to be a balance. My wife and I were watching some kind of show on the Education Channel the other evening. We don't normally do that, but we were waiting for another show to come on, and we just happened to turn on, I think it was channel number 5, and they were interviewing this secular man, and he was talking about what makes a country successful. First thing, faith. What is faith? Faith is worship. Number 2, family. Number 3, I'm trying to think what, friends. There we go. Faith, family, friends, and work. Those are biblical principles. But it is important that we keep them in balance. It is important that our work does not replace our worship. That our work doesn't become so heavy upon us that we have no time for God. This individual in here who turned down the invitation to the Lord's Supper said, I have something else to do. What is he saying? My job, my work is more important than my worship. And we have to understand, God commanded man to work. In fact, he says you have 6 days to work, and on the seventh day was to be a day of worship and to be a day of rest. Take that aside. Give that to God. Put God in your week. Allow God to work in your life. Worship the Lord God. And so we have to understand, God understands work. He gets that. He commanded you to do that, but do not get it out of balance. The first person had something he had to see. The second person had something he thought was better to do. And then the third person, we see him here in verse number 20. Let's look at it here, if you would please, in the 20th verse of the chapter. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I mean, it's just not going to happen. End of story. That's just all there is to it. And so what is this man saying? I have another relationship that comes between me and Almighty God. Understand, once again, God created woman for man. But did not he set a time there in the Garden of Eden when he would show up in the cool of the day and he would fellowship with both of them? So understand that there is no relationship, whether it be a spouse, whether it be a child, whether it be a friend, whatever it might be, and all those things are important, all those things are good in their proper sequence, but nothing should ever supersede our relationship with the Lord. No other relationship upon the face of the earth should ever come between us and our God. It should be God first, spouse second, children, and then worship. And so we have to understand that. We must keep things in their proper balance. Service to the Lord. And so the third person says, I have a new relationship. I've taken a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, is it important for a husband and wife to spend time together? Yes, it is. In fact, for the Jewish people, it was a custom amongst the Jewish people when a young man would take a bride that they would not put, the Jewish family would not put any responsibility upon that young husband for the first year. Why? Because he had taken a wife and they had to nurture a relationship. But that year goes by very quickly. And then it's time to move on. And then it's time to man up. And then it's time to take that place in the home and to be the leader that God has called us to be. And the first thing is to make time for worship for the Lord God. And so these individuals, we had one who had something else to see. We had one who had something else to do. And then we had another who had what they thought was a better relationship, and now they don't need God. Let me help you to understand something. I need God every day of my life. And when I put God in his rightful place, and my wife and I put him at the center of our relationship, then our relationship is what it needs to be. There are men and women in this room been married 50 years, some more than 50 years, some approaching 50 years. What a wonderful thing that is. Did that just happen by accident? No, I guarantee you it happened by that couple putting Christ in the center of their life. You say, what about if you come out of a situation where there was divorce in your family? Been there. My wife has been there. But you know what we decided 40 plus years ago? We decided that divorce stopped with us. We were going to have Christ at the center of our life. He was going to be the head of our home. And we were going to look to him. We were going to trust him. And as long as we're upon this earth, we were going to be a married couple. Until God takes one of us in death, we will be together. Why? Because Jesus Christ is in the center of the relationship. So we need to understand this morning that there's nothing more important than put Jesus Christ in the center. Then I want you to see a threefold result for not accepting the invitation of our Lord. We see it in verse number 21, part A. So that servant came and he showed his Lord these things. He's bringing the answer of the three men. And the master of the house being angry. Do you see that? God is angry with the response that is given to him from these individuals. You say, wait a minute, I thought God was a God of love. Yes, he is. But he is also a just God. He is also a God of truth. And so we must understand that. So the Lord becomes angry over the response because one is saying, it's more important for me to see my possession than to spend time with you. Another one says, it's more important for me to do my work than it is to spend time with you. Another one says it's more important to me to pursue this relationship than to pursue a relationship with you. Well, how does God respond to that? Well, I want you to go to the book of Hebrews. Keep your place there in the book of Luke, if you would please. Go to Hebrews chapter number 10. Let's see how God deals with this. Notice what it says here in verse number 26 of the book of Hebrews. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, this is speaking of Christian people, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Do you see that? Do you see what it says? Now, do not misread that verse. The writer of Hebrews is not saying that there remaineth no more remission. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying there is no more forgiveness of sin. He says there is no more sacrifice for sins. What is he saying? Jesus died one time. He's never going back to the cross again. His sacrifice was sufficient for you and for me. It's a one-time event. It will never occur again. So do not send Jesus back to the cross with your actions, because it is not going to happen. Notice there in verse number 27, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment and fiery judgment, or fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now we understand that that was under the economy of the law. Notice what it goes on to say. Oh, how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Do you understand this morning what you are saying to the Lord when you refuse to do whatever it is that the Lord is calling you to do? Lost person this morning, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you of your sin, come to Christ while you still can. Because there's coming a day, the Bible says that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. The Bible says it's appointed unto man one time to die, and after death, the judgment. So we have to understand this morning, if the precious Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, answer the call. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Saved person this morning, if God is speaking to your heart, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you of something, get that confessed. Come to the Lord. Whatever it is that He is saying, get it right. Get it done. You do not want to be guilty of the blood and body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified and a holy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense or repay, saith the Lord God, and again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, how can we toy? Oh, how can we play when there is so much to do, when God needs to be worshiped by his children? How can we even think for one moment that there's something else that we need to see? How can we think for a moment that there's something else that takes precedent that we have to do, or a relationship that we must pursue that's any more important than our relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God? God, help us today to put him first and foremost in our life. It is a serious matter. It is God. We will face God at the judgment seat of Christ one of these days, and we'll have to give an account of everything that was done in this body. God, help us today. So can we anger God? The answer is yes. Go back with me, if you would, quickly. Let's consider something else this morning about the threefold result of not accepting the invitation. We also see the withdrawal of the invitation. Look there once again, if you would, please, in verse number 21, this time part number B. It says, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. What is happening here? God has withdrawn the invitation to those that he has invited. He has turned away from that. He is going beyond that. He has given them the opportunity. He has given them the chance. Oh, how serious it is that we do not take the invitation of Almighty God seriously, because he can and will withdraw the invitation if we are not careful. Somebody once said, why should anybody hear the gospel once when there's millions who have never heard the gospel? Why should we hear the gospel twice whenever there are millions that have never heard the gospel one time? Think about how fortunate you are to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's such a thing as a withdrawal of the invitation. And then the third thing that we have to realize here, we also see the result of not coming is eternal doom. Look in verse number 24. Jesus says, I say unto you, that none, N-O-N-E, of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. What is he saying? Eternal separation from Almighty God. We need to take seriously the invitation of Almighty God. Do not sit in your seat when God invites you to his table. Come, come, answer the invitation. Come to the supper. Enlist, serve God, live for God. Do whatever is necessary to live for him, because he could withdraw the invitation. And then when that invitation is withdrawn, we will be eternally doomed to hell without him forever and forever and forever. Lost person, take this seriously this morning. Sometimes people will say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to submit myself to Christ. Well, I got news for you. You're either submitting yourself to Christ or you're submitting yourself to Satan, one of the two, so you make the choice. Because the reality is, if you're not plugged into Christ, you're plugged into Satan. And you don't want to be there. And then in closing this morning, I want to look for a threefold reason for coming or accepting the invitation of Jesus. First of all, you need the supper. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You need the supper. You need salvation. You need to invite Jesus Christ into your heart. You need the nourishment that the Lord's supper offers to you and to me. We need that nourishment to help us to live our Christian life. As we hear the Word of God presented, as we hear Jesus Christ exalted, as we come to his house and we listen to the Word of God and we respond to the Word of God, and by faith we follow the teachings of the Word of God, we need that spiritual nourishment and nutrition. It is necessary to our Christian experience. Secondly, we need the love and the invitation of Almighty God. We need the love and the invitation of Almighty God. There's only one name given among men whereby you must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We need to exalt him. We need to lift him up. The Bible says, and if he be lifted up, he shall draw all men unto him. If you come around here, you're going to hear the name of Jesus Christ exalted, because he's the Savior. He is the one that can forgive us of our sins. He is the one that can take us to heaven. Oh, we need the love of Almighty God. We need God to wrap his loving arms around us in times of difficulty, in times when things happen in our life and we don't understand. We live in a troubled world today. Trouble on every side. I mean, you can't look at the internet without seeing some slaying taking place here and there. I mean, you can't even go to Old Waffle House anymore and be safe. How sad, how tragic that is. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. God help us. And by the way, folks, the problem is not guns. Let me remind you that Cain didn't use a gun when he slew Abel. The problem wasn't the weapon. The problem was the heart, the wicked heart of Cain. What needs to be eliminated is that bad spirit that is amongst the people, that is out there, and the only one who can remedy that is Jesus Christ, and the world does not want to hear that message. So it is any wonder that we have all these things going on? God is trying to get the attention of the people. He wants the worship of the people. And they're consumed with all kinds of other things, as though those other things were the answer. Thirdly, you and I need the promises of Almighty God. You and I need the promises of Almighty God. What are they? Well, come on Wednesday night. Come on Wednesday evenings, and we'll tell you what those promises are. We will show you from the Word of God. We'll give you a worksheet that you can fill out and write in some clues to the promises of Almighty God. God loves you. God cares about you. You need the supper. You need the love and the invitation of Almighty God. And you need God's promises. Do you understand this morning that Christian people are the only people upon the face of this earth that have any hope after death? Do you get that today? We are the only ones that have hope beyond the grave. We are only ones who have a future when we leave this earth. Oh, there are some that hope they do this and they hope they do that. But we have the assurance of the promises of Almighty God that if we place our hope and faith in Jesus Christ, we look to Him for salvation and nobody else. We don't look to Him plus baptism or plus the Lord's Supper or plus church membership or plus tithing. And all those things are good and well in their proper sequence. Those are things that we do because we are going to heaven, not so that we can go to heaven. And so if you're trying to work your way to heaven this morning, there's not enough work you can possibly do. There'll never be enough work that you could ever do, because works will not gain your salvation. Only faith in Jesus Christ will bring you salvation. So you need the promises of Almighty God. The Bible says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. In other words, there's not one way for the Jew and another way for the Greek and another way for the Gentile. No, there's one way and only one way, and His name is Jesus. He is the Son of God. He will save you today. He will take you to heaven. He will write your name in the book of life. Oh, what great and wonderful promises we have from the Word of God. You need the invitation to God's supper, and one of these days it's coming. The marriage supper of the Lamb will take place. But the sad reality is one day we'll look around and we'll wonder, sometimes like we do on a given Sunday when we come to church and we say, where's so-and-so? Well, I don't know. Where's so-and-so? Well, I don't know. Because life is busy sometimes. But there's one invitation that you better not miss. And that's the invitation to be born again in the Spirit of God. Inviting Jesus into your heart. Forsaking everything else. Forget everything else you've been taught in your life. If it's not found in the Word of God, it's not worth listening to. So God help us today to accept the invitation to invite Jesus to come into our heart, forgive us of our sins, and save our soul, to take us to heaven when we die. Heavenly Father, we ask today, Lord, if there's anybody here within the sound of my voice who is not totally trusting your Son Jesus as Lord and Savior today, dear God, that they would invite Jesus to come into their heart today, that they would make public their profession of faith and walk the aisle and openly declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of our soul. Help us today. Help us, Lord, to be willing to confess you openly before men. You said in your word, if we would acknowledge you before men, you would acknowledge us before your Father which is in heaven. So help us to do that today. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Please stand.